Friends, brothers and sisters, I'm standing before you today and my heart is so heavy. All across the country, our cities are burning. Some 100 yards away from where I stand, there has been looting. Sirens fill up the night with their lights and their constant blare. Why? Because of the unconscionable violence done to our Black brothers and sisters. It's because of Ahmaud Arbery, because of Breonna Taylor, because of George Floyd. For 8 minutes, a white police officer who had 17 complaints against him kneeled on the neck of one of our brothers in Christ and snuffed out his life. But I'm sorry to say that this has been happening for hundreds of years. You can trace this back to the transatlantic slave trade. 400 years ago, the violence in our country began with our country's willful and devastating action to build our economy on the backs of Black and brown brothers and sisters that we made slaves. Beatings, whippings, deaths. It's been happening for 400 years. But believe it or not, you can go further back in time to a small country called Portugal and a priest named Zurara who would write a book that would be read widely by the Western world, calling Prince Henry, his prince, an anointed son, and by the Pope, an athlete and intrepid champion of the Christ faith. How was that sonship and championship manifested? Through the taking of slaves. Somehow, Zurara writes quite convincingly, at least for the Western world at the time, that the slave trade was a good thing because a large number of them have been converted to the faith. And it is hoped by the help of divine mercy that if such progress be continued with them, either those people will be converted to the faith or at least the souls of many of them will be gained by Christ. And it's here fatally that Zurara also begins to write into reality the distinction between white and black. Blackness, he says, is the, quote, result of environmental harm, unquote. Shockingly, Zurara would write, others, again, were as black as Ethiops and so ugly, both in features and in body, as almost to appear as the images of a lower hemisphere. What lower hemisphere is this priest talking about? Friends, he's talking about hell. When he says environmental harm, what is the harm that comes from an environment? Well, that harm is coming from the environment of hell. Blacks would be organized in the church according to the lightness of their skin. The lighter the skin, the less singed by hell. The lighter the skin, the more suitable for Christian faith. The lighter the skin, the more suitable for Christian leadership. Friends, are you listening? Do you see? The church is actually complicit in this. The church violated the basic hope of the gospel. If you've heard the term white gospel, it's not political. It started here. If you've heard the term white gospel, it's not political. It started here. If you want to look for those responsible in this system, you can look at broken governmental systems, sure, but you first have to look at the church. The Portuguese church, and listen, everyone else fell in line, disembodied the gospel. The good news that God sent his son Jesus to the earth to rescue us from sin and death. Jesus was a first century Jew, fully God, fully man. That man was a humble carpenter from Israel who probably had brown skin. The disembodying of the gospel was moving the gospel away from a first century Jew and into white likeness. That's what happened back then. Disembodying the gospel also meant that toward the beginning of the slave trade in America, slaves were only allowed to be evangelized for their souls. When Jesus clearly has not just come for our souls, but for the restoration of all creation, which includes God's good earth and our bodies. The fruit of this writing is that we lost the cultural underpinnings of our gospel. We moved it from the land of Israel to Europe and later to America. We moved it from Jesus, who was a Jew, to the fair-skinned European likeness you see even in pictures and paintings of Jesus hanging on walls, maybe some even in our homes. The fruit of Zurara's writing is that even at the beginning of the slave trade, many denominations condoned and participated in the violation of the biblical truth that all mankind is made in the image of God. We have some repenting to do. The Bible begins with creation, and it begins with the song of creation, and the climax of that song is the creation of mankind. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God created them, male and female. He called them very good. Male and female, imbued with dignity, he made them in his image. Let me say that again. Adam and Eve, the father and mother of mankind, are imbued with dignity. They are made in the very image of God, thus making each one of us and our bodies dignified, made in the image of God. You are made in the image of God. You are made in the image of God. Just type that in the chat. I am made in the image of God. Creation celebrates the glory of God in human beings. Black or brown, yellow or white, people of all colors are made in the image of God. There are no different races. There is one race, mankind. And guess what? That race has been made in the image of God. The sin of the church is that we wrote a different story. We sang a different song because of class and economy. We are the ones responsible for the subhuman story of different races because we wanted a story to assuage our guilt at making African slaves. The dignity of mankind in our human bodies is a thread that works its way through the entire Bible. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John chapter 1, verse 14, our Savior Jesus was born into a body. This is the incarnation, God made flesh. Yet again, another celebration that man made in the image of God would carry in its flesh the divine Jesus to right the wrongs of sin and death, to make all things new, and to take to the cross his body for our bodies to rescue us from the cosmic powers of sin and death and to beat back those powers, conquering them through the cross and the resurrection. Victory through a body, incarnation. And it's in him that every knee, every tongue, that's right, every knee, every tongue, no matter your skin color, bows and confesses that Jesus is Lord, because every single person is welcome in the kingdom of God because his redemption is for every single person. Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians chapter 2, 9 through 11. And I hope you hear in those verses, every tongue, every tribe, which is an affirmation of the rich diversity of mankind. The gospel, the good news of Jesus is for everyone, for every single person, for every tribe. The color of your skin does not determine your dignity or your worth. The color of our skin does not determine our fittingness for the gospel. The color of our skin does not determine our capacity for leadership. The color of our skin reflects the beauty and creativity of God. It's his song. The song of creation has become the song of redemption. But brothers and sisters, there is a different song happening right now. It's one that clangs with pain. It's the song of the ignored. It's the song of the oppressed. It's the song of those who have been too long unseen and unheard, and it rumbles with the deep bass notes of anger. It's a song in which every strain sounds a different note of suffering, where those suffering have to chant Black Lives Matter because the world has forgotten or willfully ignored that Black Lives Matter is actually in the heart of Jesus. can we, church, sing a song with them? And with the God who makes all things new, can we sing a song of repentance? Can you take a moment and examine your life? Repentance means to confess our sin and then to turn toward right action. It's what we need to do right now. We need to repent. Let's repent for the ways we've contributed to systemic racism, for the ways the church participated in the transatlantic slave trade, for the ways the church has turned a blind eye to the pain of our black and brown brothers and sisters. Let's sing the song of repentance. Let's also sing the song of protest. On Tuesday, I went to the South Side with some members of our church to march peacefully. There was so much goodwill, and we sang the song that's in Jesus' heart, Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. Can we sing this song together? Can we sing the song of justice? Justice must precede reconciliation. Real work has to be done to dismantle the systems that perpetuate the demonic lie that just because you look different, you are worth something different. What does that work look like? Well, it's in the very least, it looks like acting like Jesus in the face of all this unrest, standing in solidarity with those who mourn and are hurting, acting in our words and deeds in ways that promote healing, just as our Savior did. He healed so many when he was on earth. It also looks like praying for our leaders that they may make wise and just choices to turn back our current reality. It looks like championing policies that will save lives. It even looks like voting for leaders we know will stem the tide of this hatred and brutality. And finally, can we sing the song of welcome? We must welcome, as Jesus does, all people to the throne of God. And we must welcome their stories. We must listen. This is what music does. There's the part where we sing, but then there's the parts where we listen. Are we listening? We have many black and brown brothers and sisters in our church, and we would love to hear your stories. If you have experienced the devaluation of your human dignity, that you have been made in the image of God because of racism, we would love to hear your stories. Email us, write it in the Connect card, tell us so that we can all listen. And next week, one of the ways that we are going to hear and sing the song of welcome is that we're going to hear a message from one of our best and brightest Vineyard pastors, an African American named Gino Allison, who pastors on the South Side. He has much to say, and he's singing. Will you sing with us? Will you listen?
for the fear that wants to steal our breath. Forgive us, we pray, and give us your grace. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on us, on us. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on us, on us. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on us, on us. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on us, on us. Have mercy. Forgiving God, forgiving us, forgiving God, forgiving us, forgiving God, forgiving us, forgiving God, forgiving us, forgiving.
This morning, as we end our time of worship, we want to pray together for our city. We have experienced together the heartbreaking news of so many Black men and women who have died in the last few weeks and months. That is just a small representation of so many others who have died. We have experienced together the pain and grief as we have taken to the streets in protest. Today we turn together toward the next hard work. The work of crying out for justice and restoration of neighborhoods and families. Not back to where they were, but to a form that is just and good for all. Our Lord and our God, we lift to you the pain of our city and its people. Lord, have mercy on our nation for the years of violence and bloodshed rooted in sinful acts of racism. We cry out for every person who has been re-traumatized by the deaths of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery. We ask you to comfort them as only you can. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for our governmental leaders to finally succeed in bringing real and lasting reformation to our police departments and our criminal justice system. God, have mercy on people and leadership who have delegitimized our pain, turned their face to injustice, failed to listen, and poorly steward your kingdom here on earth. God, we pray for mercy on those who have subjected our Black brothers and sisters to racial profiling, oppression, and grief. We cry out to you, Lord, bring deep and thorough accountability to our police departments. Bring a change to the way young men and women of color are treated by our justice system. Lord, hear our prayer. And Lord, we pray for the owners of small businesses who saw the hard work of years get destroyed by looting and by the fires in the last week. Lift them up out of the ashes, Father. Close their ears to the voices that tell them to give up, to cut their losses, and to run away. Provide for them the means to rebuild. Let those communities be restored and flourish. Put your spirit of blessing and abundance on them, God. Let the voices of joy and celebration be heard in them again. May small business owners prosper, O Lord, and their communities with them. Lord, hear our prayer. Bring your justice. Bring your comfort. Bring your blessing once again, we pray. Amen.